Well, at least I had first service to warn me that this was coming for second service, because they did not tell me any of this before I got up. I'll tell you a little bit more of a story. It's part of my story today, a little bit more about that journey. But before we do that, I wanted to give a quick update on some things that are happening on the mission field. So Daniel Goulet, who leads our School of Kingdom Ministry, is taking a trip we call Sachem Expeditions, which is the School of Kingdom Ministry alumni from all across the country who are in South Africa on a missions trip there, along with a vineyard pastor named Brian Blount, who we've partnered with to do these trips, and it's been so amazing to see what God's doing. And this is what Daniel sent us, and I thought this was so encouraging, I wanted to share it with you. He said, just a couple of days in, and we've seen over 100 healings so far. Lots of this from the hotel, the mall, the restaurants. Last night, we had an amazing church meeting. We saw two almost deaf ears totally open and healed. A woman with a broken ankle started walking around without her cane. All the pain left. And then some of her metal spikes shrunk down where she couldn't feel them anymore. At the end, we prayed for a woman. She got hit powerfully by the Spirit, and gold specks started showing up on her nose. Come, Holy Spirit. God is on the move, and I am so excited about what he's doing there. He says his prayer is, I want to see the lame walk, the blind see, and the deaf hear through my hands. God keeps telling me to ask for what I want, so I'm asking. Amen, God. That's awesome. Can we give a big hand to what Daniel and the Sachem team is doing? Lord, we bless what you're doing over there right now. We thank you for all the ways that you're going to continue to move and for the amazing testimonies of your kingdom expanding across the world. Amen. All right, well, about 5 years ago, as was mentioned, I made a decision that surprised even me to go back to school, and I enrolled in a graduate program to pursue more formal ministry and theological training in seminary. And specifically, as Joe mentioned, I pursued a degree called a Master of Divinity, or an MDiv. And basically, that means I'm like now a divine master or something. It's kind of a loose definition. Don't worry about it. I mean, you don't get to get into it. Julie can tell you all about it. It's great. Well, I am glad to say that after nearly 5 years, I'm glad I have officially graduated and have completed my degree, as you can see by the picture evidence that I did do that. And now you can officially call me Master Yoda. I gotta go with it, right? Right? Yoda name isn't just for the Amish heritage back in Arthur, right? I gotta try and really work it out here. Now, the interesting part about this is I didn't start with school before I went into ministry. This wasn't at the beginning. It came after I said yes to ministry and leading and pastoring this church. God was asking me to submit to the discipline of training for the work he'd called me to. And I assumed this would be about adding things to my life, right? More knowledge, more tools, more theological understanding to better serve God, to better serve his people. And while it certainly did all of those things, the Holy Spirit revealed something deeper that this journey would also be about. It would be about subtracting. Now, maybe you've experienced this in your life as well. Have you taken on new responsibilities at work, dedicated time to learning new skills? Maybe you also went back to school later in life. Maybe you just taken on good things in order to better your life. And I imagine you've been faced with some of the same challenges that I was faced with, that we can't always fit everything we've been doing now into the next season of our life. And that's where I found myself. In order to succeed, I had to face some really hard truths. There simply wasn't room in my life for everything if I was going to thrive in seminary and all the other responsibilities that I had. Something had to be pruned. It had to be cut. See, I had to prioritize my time and my energy differently. I didn't want my family to suffer because I was going to school, so I sacrificed sleep instead. Early mornings with a textbook instead of a pillow. Weekends often meant giving up rest to research, to write papers, to finish homework. And yes, there were some seasons where Julie would jokingly and probably truthfully say that she became a seminary widow as I would disappear for hours at a time to finish the work that was needed. Thank you, babe, for putting up with me for that time. But here's what I discovered. Those cuts, they made room for fruit. See, a deeper knowledge of God's word was part of that. I had a stronger connection to Jesus and his church, like historically and present day, not just intellectually, but spiritually and relationally. I found a greater leadership capacity, one in how to lead myself and leadership in the ministry that God has entrusted to me. A renewed discipline in how I walk with God, how I lead my life, and how I connect with him. See, submitting to the process of letting God prune or remove those things from our lives is never easy. However, it becomes very different when we understand that those cuts have a purpose. They're meant to move us forward into the fullness of what God has for our lives. You know, just a few weeks ago, we read in the one-year Bible, as we've been here in the book of John, and in John 10:10, Jesus tells us this, and he gives us some point and a purpose for some of this pruning that we're seeing. I think this is important. It says this: the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. See, God wants the fruit of your life to be both rich and satisfying. Pruning isn't about hurting or destroying your life. That's what the enemy, what Satan, the thief, wants to do. See, God has a purpose in our pruning, and his fruit in our lives looks like a life that's filled with joy and peace and patience and all of the fruits of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that later here in the message. But see, what I was experiencing in these cuts is what the Bible tells us in John chapter 15, where we're going to spend our time today. And we read these verses in our one-year Bible. I'm going to read just the first couple verses. We're going to come back to more of this chapter. And this is what Jesus says. He says in John 15:1-2, he says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more." So Jesus tells us that the Father is the gardener who prunes us. Not to punish us, but to make room for growth. In our lives, fruit doesn't grow just because we hustle harder or because we add more stuff. Often it grows when we prune things to make room for the fruit. When we allow God to shape what stays and what goes, and when we learn to abide more fully in Jesus. See, when we're abiding in Jesus, it doesn't mean we're striving to get somewhere. It's about staying rooted right in the place of his presence. You already have access to Jesus. You don't have to chase him down. That's an important framework as we start this conversation. And we're gonna ask some questions today. These are questions we wanna address. First, where is God pruning you today? We need to ask this question sometimes daily. Why is it essential we learn to abide in connection to Jesus, and what kind of fruit do you want in your life? Well, let's start today by praying. Holy Spirit, would you come today? Would you be our teacher? Would you be our guide? Would you show us the places where you're pruning us so we can be obedient to you? In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever wondered why sometimes when you're working the hardest, we seem to have the least amount of fruit in our lives? You ever gone through a season where you're giving everything you had, your energy, your time, your heart, yet nothing seemed to be moving forward? You felt dry, worn out, unsure if anything you were doing made any difference at all. Maybe you're in that kind of season right now. You're doing everything you know how to do. You're giving all that you have every single day, but inside, you're exhausted, you're discouraged, and you're wondering, is this even worth it? I know that feeling well. See, when I started this journey of school in the fall of 2020, it was one of the hardest times I could have chosen to add something new to my life. Like, we were just a year, Julie and I were just a year of stepping into the senior leadership here at the church. The world felt like it was falling apart. It was divided. It was chaotic. It was angry. And I felt like I was unraveling right along with it. So no matter what decisions I made, it didn't seem like anything worked. Everyone was frustrated, including me. I was tired, I was angry, and I was discouraged, and I did not want to say yes to school. That felt impossible and kind of dumb, honestly. But God has a way of bringing the right voices into your life at the right time. And for me, that was my wife. That was Julie. Thank you. Husbands, pay attention. She encouraged me to say yes when I wanted to say no. So I did. And God used that first class to begin a work of discipline and pruning in my life that would last for almost the next 5 years. See, that class was about praying for healing, but it ended up being about healing me. God used it to shift my perspective, to help me see people the way that he was seeing them and not the way that I'd started to view them through my frustration and my weariness. God had some discipline and pruning to do, and that fall, he spoke pretty clearly to me, and he said this: "Mike, you've developed a thin skin and a hard heart." And he was absolutely right. It was hard because it was true. I'd been operating out of my own strength, trying to keep things together, letting the voices of others shape my identity, drain my energy. And the fruit was anxiety and fear and burnout. So God told me it was time to cut some things, some patterns, some attitudes, some misplaced focus. This is what he told me. He said, I want you to have a thick skin and a soft heart. See, what happened when I did it out of myself was I got the opposite result of what God wanted. I got the opposite fruit in my life of what the kingdom needed. I needed pruning and I needed discipline because God was teaching me a lesson. Not because he was trying to punish me, but he wanted to make room for better fruit in my life. I believe some of you here today can relate. You're giving everything you have, but Jesus is inviting you to start giving everything he has. That only happens when we let him tend to the garden of our lives, and it only comes with surrender to his pruning and staying deeply aware of his presence in every moment. He wants you to be fruitful in every area of your life. But to get there, we're gonna have to allow the gardener to do his work. Can we do that today? We're gonna look today at John chapter 15, and we're gonna learn more about this gardener. And in this passage, to give a little context, Jesus is speaking to his disciples just before the events of his crucifixion. So this is a conversation he's having just with his disciples, and this crucifixion, what's happening next, is like right after this. So these are some of the final words that he's sharing with them, and he's preparing them for the kind of relationship that they and we will have with him after he returns to the Father and sends the gift of his Holy Spirit. And so to help them understand the nature and purpose of this relationship, Jesus uses the image of a gardener and the grapevine. And this illustration reveals how we're meant to stay connected to him and grow under the Father's care. So I'm gonna read today more of John 15. We're gonna start with verses 1-8. This is what Jesus says. I'm the true grapevine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. And such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. And when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So what Jesus is doing here is he's revealing more of that purpose for the pruning. And what does he tell us? Why do we get pruned? It's all about the fruit. It's all about what he wants to come and be part of what comes out of our lives lived. So God, and it's important to understand that of course he prunes the dead branches, but that's not where he stops. It says he also prunes the fruitful ones to increase fruit. I'm gonna tell you, that's actually the harder message to hear in this pruning. That there are some good things in your life, some things that may even have some fruit in them, but God's gonna do some pruning on them because he has more. It's not about what we think is the right amount of fruit, it's what the gardener thinks. But we have to understand, this pruning, that's why we understand pruning, it doesn't equal punishment, it's preparation. It's about caring for our health. See, these intentional cuts that stimulate growth. So we have to understand what pruning is in the natural so we can understand why he's using this analogy. So here's some reasons why you might prune in the natural, because it removes what's dead or diseased, right? You need that to remove to keep the rest of the plant healthy. Pruning stimulates new growth. It redirects energy into the parts that matter most and will produce the most fruit. It improves direction, right? Where the shape of the plant is growing to achieve the best results and not growing in places that will cause it more trouble in the future. And it increases fruitfulness, right? More fruit comes from a better focus of the resources used to make the fruit. Now look around us, right? This is Illinois. This is the time of growing. It's spring turning into summer. Everything's growing. How many of you out there mowing your lawn, weeding the garden, trimming back bushes or trees right now? Anybody else? Just me? If you're not, maybe you should look and check. He probably needs it. Believe me, I waited too long. But I want you to think about this. You don't usually worry about that in the winter, do you? Right? We do the most pruning and cutting when things are actually growing. That's the same thing that's true in your life and our lives, I believe. Right? That the season of greatest growth in your life often requires the most pruning. So I want to encourage you, when God starts to do something new in your life, when he begins to grow things in your life, don't be surprised when the pruning hands of the gardener begin to come. You should rejoice. You rejoice because he sees fruit and he wants more. It's not because something's wrong, it's because he's making room for more fruitfulness. See, this is pain with purpose. And the question is, can we trust the one who's doing the pruning? That's a real question. We have to ask ourselves that. Can we trust him? We don't just allow anyone to make a cut, right? If you're going for surgery, you're only going to trust a surgeon, not the guy you just met on the street who happens to have a knife. Right? Same thing. If we need pruning in our lives, we're going to go to God, the gardener. And Jesus says what? Apart from me, you can do nothing. It says we're to remain in him. In fact, Jesus tells us to remain in him 7 times in these verses alone. I think he might be trying to tell us something. What he's telling us, the branch, that's us. The branch is totally dependent. Life and strength only come through the vine. So I want us to remember, what does it mean to abide? What does it mean to remain? See, we're not striving to get somewhere. We're learning to stay somewhere. That's a very different mindset. When we feel like we have to perform, when we have to feel like we have to strive, when we have to, if we don't do these things, we won't get there. Jesus says, can you just remain in me? Start from that place. Spiritual disciplines, the things that we talk about connecting and staying connected to the vine, they're not obligations, they're pathways of connection to the vine. We want to be revived by his wind and his word, his spirit and his scriptures, because they keep us connected to Jesus. He's the source of life, and it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live as sons and daughters. We are made right in our being when we remain in Jesus, when we allow his words and our union with him to make us who we truly are. That is where we get our identity. Remaining looks like being immersed in scripture, a life of prayer and conversation with him. It means obedience to his word and a heart that loves God and loves others. Don't leave that last part off. Right? Sometimes we can get, I can love Jesus. My neighbor? Maybe not. He needs to trim his trees. See, fruit is the evidence of discipleship that actually brings glory to God. And I learned something about pruning as I was preparing for this sermon. I learned about something called a water sprout that can be found on fruit trees. So if you're someone who has fruit trees or does this kind of work, you're probably familiar. And a water sprout is a branch that grows along with all the other branches, and it's usually pointed straight up. And it can often appear like really fast growth in the tree. It shoots up almost overnight. It's green, it's alive, and it's strong. But here's the thing. The water spout never bears fruit. It just pulls energy away from the branches that do bear fruit. And honestly, I think that's true in our lives too. Not every growth is healthy growth. Even if it looks alive and promising, it can be a distraction from what really matters. These can be habits, pursuits, even relationships that seem active, even spiritual, but they're not aligned with the fruit-bearing work that God, the gardener, says he wants. And so what do? They drain our attention, our time, and our spiritual energy. And if we don't allow God to prune those water sprouts, we end up busy but barren. Are you feeling busy but barren today? This word is for you. This should be an encouragement to you. And it illustrates why pruning is so essential. It's not about punishment, it's about love. The Father knows what we actually need to bear lasting fruit. He also knows what will just look busy for a season and never bring life. So this is an invitation for us today. Ask the Father, are there any water sprouts in your life right now? Places that are growing, but they're not fruitful. Where are you achieving success, but only feel drained? Where are you building your relation, your reputation, but losing connection with Jesus? Where is activity hiding your hurt, your anxiety, your broken relationships? See, do we trust Jesus enough to do his careful pruning today? See, he's not just after random growth, he's after a fruitful life. Those are very different. And there's some of you here today, you're holding on to the dead branches of your life that Jesus has already pruned. What do you need to let go of today so you can stop living from your past and start living towards your future of God's presence and his glory today? Actually, I think God's bringing to mind some of the things you've been holding on to right now that need to go. These may be painful things that you've experienced. Maybe hurt from relationship with family or friends or spouse. Maybe things done to you that are dominating your life, your thoughts, rejection, betrayal, anything that's holding you in bondage so that you feel stuck in the pain and the addiction and choices that you've made. See, Jesus wants you to be free. Now, he doesn't want you just to be free like in the future sometime. Jesus wants you to be free right now. Amen. Today. In fact, we're gonna stop right now and we're gonna give some of these things to Jesus because I believe Jesus wants to set you free today. So right now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to recognize that Jesus is already in the room standing here in front of us. And I want you to imagine as he brings to mind some of those things that you've been holding on to. Some of the pain, some of the hurt, some of the brokenness. Anything that's not actually your burden to bear. And I want you to put your hands out, and I want to imagine you're actually putting those things into your hand right now. I'm going to lead us through a prayer. We're going to give these things to Jesus because they do not belong to us. But Jesus, we give you permission right now to prune these things from our life. And we surrender right now to your discipline, to your love, and we repent from anything that's keeping us from connecting with you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's power when it comes to giving these things to Jesus. This is part of the normal routine of walking our life and journey of faith. Give to Jesus what he's already paid for. Anything that we're holding on to is us letting it suck the life from us. And Jesus says, give it to me. See, this pruning thing is so important because it creates the opportunity for growth and revival in our midst, but we have to do something with that opportunity. And so I want to keep reading here in John 15 as Jesus continues to teach in verses 9 through 17. He says this, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain, there's that remain word again, remain in my love, and when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is important. Hear this. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you. There is no greater love than lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. And if you do what I command, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. This is my command. Love each other. So how do we make room for that growth? How do we take advantage of the opportunity? We remain. We abide in the love of Jesus, right? It starts with saying yes to Jesus first and foremost as Lord of your life. And if you're here and you've never said that, we'll have opportunity to do that at the end of the service. That first step of saying yes to Jesus for what he paid for, he died and he rose again so you could have a rich and satisfying life with him. And I love what Jesus says here. He makes it really clear. He says, obedience is what releases abiding. He says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. So there's a clear connection here between obedience and remaining in his love. And if that abiding, obeying, they feel like a heavy burden to you, I want to encourage you, you were never meant to do this on your own. In fact, just before John 15 and John chapter 14, and then again in John chapter 16 right after, Jesus is encouraging us. He makes a powerful promise. He's sending us a helper. The Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to actually remain in Jesus, to walk in his obedience, to stay rooted in his love, his presence, and his power every single day. You were never expected to carry any of this on your own. You don't have to. God's plan for a fruitful and satisfying life always included the gift of his Spirit. He's with you, he's for you, and he's helping you every step of the way. Do not fall to the lie that you must do this alone. This obedience is not legalism, it's relational. I love what the famous author and scholar C.S. Lewis said. He said, obedience isn't legalism, it's a symptom of salvation. Did you catch that? Obedience isn't legalism, it's a symptom of salvation. What he's telling us is that our obedience is simply the evidence of a life that's been transformed by Jesus. So obedience in my life has meant many different things. It's meant being willing to stop what I'm doing and obey his voice. That may mean praying for somebody at the gym when God highlights something to me. It may mean stopping on the road and helping the person who just dumped a load of lumber out of the back of their truck. That was just a few weeks ago. It means visiting that friend or family member in the hospital when they're hurting. What it means is I'm willing to let the Holy Spirit interrupt my life so that the kingdom of God can be expanded in their life and mine together. This obedience is not about what earns love. It's how we stay rooted in it, how we remain in it. And it's a response to his love. See, abiding releases joy. I love Jesus' promise here. He says, I've told you these things so you'll be filled with my joy in verse 11. True joy, that overflowing supernatural joy, it only comes when we stay connected to him. It is so important. A disconnected life leads to stress and striving, bitterness and anxiety. And a connected life has the fruit of joy even in the midst of hardship. And this is important. See, if we don't abide, we don't produce fruit. Without Jesus, there's no fruit. We are always meant to live connected and in his presence. So here's my warning to you today. Do not substitute anything for connection to Jesus. And I want to give you some warning signs that we can look for in our life when we're substituting things for Jesus. First, are you doing things for Jesus, but not spending time with him? You need to understand, activity does not equal abiding. I had to learn this lesson. I want to do a lot of things. My activity does not equate to abiding. Are you filling your calendar with ministry, but you're starving your soul of intimacy? Are you gaining knowledge about God, but not really knowing him? See, when we say that we love Jesus, but we fail to obey him, we have to understand those are mutually exclusive ideas. Obedience and love with Jesus are deeply connected. And here's my challenge, and this can be a hard challenge. If that's you, I challenge you right now, stop lying to yourself and stop lying to others. If you confess to love Jesus and yet your heart is filled with pride, bitterness, and disobedience, you don't need another prophetic word at ministry time. You need deliverance. You need freedom. I don't say this to be harsh to you, church. I say it because Jesus is telling us this. When you're connected to the wrong source, the enemy is always trying to make you connect to a root of self-righteousness and pride that is blind and disobedient to the pruning of the Father. And when we substitute anything for Jesus, we become slaves to sin. Church, hear me. I want you to live with the fruit of a rich and satisfying life. I don't say this because I'm trying to be harsh. I say this because I love you and because Jesus loves us. And this is his command to us, nothing but him. See, this is why it's so important we understand we're no longer slaves, why Jesus calls us here a friend, because our friendship comes from being adopted as sons and daughters of God. That's what the Bible calls us. And this is a really important distinction because it's related to the fruit of Jesus in our life. So when we talk about a slave in this instance, we're talking about those who are under the control or the power of sin and the brokenness that comes with it in our natural, emotional, and spiritual lives. See, Jesus wants to change our paradigm of what it means to be in relationship with God. This is a radical departure for the people he was speaking to, and it's a radical departure for many of us today to understand how we're to relate to God. And it's an important distinction because when we look at slaves, slaves obey from obligation. But friends, sons and daughters, we find joy in the presence of our Father. We obey from love. We aren't just called to work for God, we're called to work with God. These are very different paradigms of how we view ourselves. So ask yourself the question, are you living like a slave or are you living like a son or daughter today? We'll know this by the fruit. So what's the fruit we should expect to see? Well, Galatians 5 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. We can look right there. It says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is that the fruit of your life right now? This is the fruit that God wants. This is the fruit that Jesus wants. So therefore, he will empower us to have it. So are you filled with love? Are you exuding joy? And I'm not talking about joy that's the fleeting emotion because I had a good day or a good moment. This is a deep, abiding confidence that God's with us, he is for us, and he is working all things for our good. Are you standing in peace today? Are you abiding in patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? If not, it's time to call the gardener. Even better, it's time to recognize that the gardener lives right within you all the time. His presence is there. He said he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. The fruit that we experience is not our fruit. It's his fruit coming through us. It doesn't come from self-effort. It comes from surrender. If that's not the fruit you're experiencing, then it's probably time for some pruning. What needs to go? What do you need to surrender to him? Where is unforgiveness tormenting your mind? Where is disobedience cutting you off from the awareness of his presence? No matter what it is, your life will be more abundant when you let the gardener shape your growth. So my encouragement to you today is don't be discouraged in a season of pruning. When God brings his pruning, whether that's through discipline, correction, refinement, know this, it is not rejection, it's love. It's the careful hand of the gardener shaping your life for something greater. And he wants you to trust him, to obey him, and allow him to tend the soil of your heart so you can bear abundant and lasting fruit. See, church, we're called to be a people of obedient surrender, yielded to the gardener's hand, shaped by his fruit, and rooted in his love. This is what God is doing in each one of us. It's what he's doing here in our church. We're in a season of revival and renewal, and with that, we should expect there is a season of pruning, abiding, and growing. Pruning always comes as part of fruitfulness. But at the center of all that God is doing must be Jesus. And I promise you, that is where we will stand. That is where we will stay. With Jesus at the center, with a focus on his presence, knowing that revival and renewal only come when we keep our eyes fixed on him. That is the commitment we have individually. That is the commitment we have together as church. See, I've seen too much of his presence, his goodness, his glory to settle for anything less. And my prayer is the same for you, that you would be ruined for anything but the fullness of God, of his presence, of his power, in every part of your life. So as we close in prayer today, I wanna read a guiding verse. I'm gonna just invite you to stand if you're able as we close out. This is God's promise of more that comes from Ephesians 3:20, and it's been a guiding verse in this season for us. And it says this, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." So Father, we thank you that it is because of our surrender to your pruning that you will accomplish infinitely more than we can ask, think, or do. Lord, we surrender right now to all that you have for us. Obedience to your pruning in our lives. Even as we worship, God, we give to you all that doesn't belong with us. And we say yes to you in Jesus' name. Amen.